Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
All right, you've heard about addictions and you've heard about eating disorders, but when do addictions actually coexist with an eating disorder? Well, we've got our wonderful expert, OBGYN, at the Mount Kisco Medical Group in Westchester County, New York, Dr. Alyssa Dweck. And her book is V is for Vagina, Your A to Z Guide to Periods, Piercings, Pleasures, and So Much, Much More. Well, the So Much, Much More is also going to be all about how we eat and that whole world of addiction as well. Dr. Dweck, welcome back to Her Radio. It's great to have you here. Awesome. And so, all right, in your own practice, how often do you run into women who have a history of addiction? And it could be to anything.
Sure. I run into women and young girls with addictions not that infrequently, whether it's your traditional alcohol addiction or drug addiction or addiction to other things such as sugar or exercise. These are all issues that we deal with all the time.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of that prescription stuff, too. And, you know, it's really interesting. One of the things that we've been finding is that these younger people especially are highly, highly vulnerable to addiction because the prefrontal cortex, you know, the smarty pants part of the brain, isn't fully formed until, honestly, you're 25 years old. So it's methodically being going through its transitions. But during that time, if you're vulnerable to addiction, one of the things that happens is that you end up with a risk-taking type of behavior that begins to emerge. You said young people. Well, they're doing everything from robbing their parents, you know, medicine cabinets and popping pills to finding out what's under the sink to inhale, to actually, you know, hitting everything from pot to other drugs. And of course, alcohol's a big one in here. It's always the number one. So now, when does this addictive tendency flip over into an eating disorder? Now, I'm going to ask you, Dr. Dweck, how often do you see kind of disordered, chaotic eating among so many of your wonderful patients?
Yes. Sadly, I see it all too often. I see the traditional anorexia or bulimia where it's just all foods are being restricted. But more and more, we're seeing young women or middle-aged women who are really restricting, say, gluten, for example, and it's not because of a medical condition, but more because they really want to lose weight or they feel that they're controlling things if they eliminate one specific thing from their diet. We'll see people of eating only nuts or only plant-based foods where they really just become so addictive and these behaviors tend to interfere with their day-to-day life, their work, their relationships, and this can be a little concerning, of course.
Absolutely. And, you know, the most common, as it were, eating disorder is binge eating. And binge eating is compulsive eating. So one of the things that we found, and this is certainly going right up my line with my book, The Hunger Fix and Food and Addiction, is the fact that when you're binge eating, you're not binge eating on arugula. You know, it's usually what we call the hyperpalatables. And the hyperpalatables are sugary, fatty, salty food combinations, especially sugar. You mentioned it yourself. Now, what's happening here is as you, let's just say it all started with a trauma, because trauma is front and center with so much of this overeating and eating disorders per se. And then you find yourself grabbing food to soothe yourself with. Well, it's not tuna on a bed of greens, I guarantee you. Again, it's the sugary, fatty, salty food combos. And then when you're doing that, guess what? You start a second problem. This is that coexisting situation. So then if you're vulnerable, what you end up having is changes happening in the reward center in your brain, as well as your prefrontal cortex, that are adaptations to hyperexposure, overexposure to sugary, fatty, salty foods. Now you got yourself a real problem, because then you now have a food addiction going along with the eating disorder, which is binge eating, and then you've got a problem. So that's just one really, I think, excellent example of when an addiction coexists with an eating disorder. Does that make sense, Alyssa?
Of course it does. The other one that I see in my practice is exercise. Women who start off just doing exercise, feeling great, and then becoming really addicted to that activity to the point where it overtakes their life. And I do see that coexisting with traditional eating disorders as well.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand with that desperate need to be able to, A, maintain control, because we know that eating disorders, especially the restrictives, are really feeling an incredible and desperate need to hold on to this sense of, in this case, a false sense of control. So they're controlling what's going in their mouth. At the same time, they become body obsessed, and they're just, you know, hammering it out, trying to actually, you know what it is? It's actually self-soothing. You're self-soothing because you're increasing your endorphins, your serotonin, as you know, in physical activity, and you're pushing it and pushing it. And you want to somehow be able to calm down some of that stress. But if you take it too hard, and if you're really doing extreme exercise, and that could also mean just sitting there in the gym forever and a day, then you've got a real problem here, because that will also stir up more hunger and appetite, and then you've got to become even more restrictive. It's like a vicious cycle, you know, this whole addiction coexisting with the eating disorder. I mean, do you, when you meet someone like this, as an OBGYN, what is your algorithm to be able to begin to open up the discussion with that,
well,
with that woman?
One thing that always surprises me is not everyone with an eating disorder has that typical look to them where they seem emaciated and extraordinarily thin and perhaps very high on the anxiety scale. Some of these women really are normal weight, or they don't appear to be, you know, emaciated. So that's something that is usually a surprise to me. In addition, the thing that tips me off as a gynecologist is some women will really lose their period as a result of their dietary restrictions and their excessive exercise habits. So this is something that we're really conscious of, and it can really impair fertility and general well-being, of course.
Absolutely, and needless to say, they're malnourished. I mean, that's just putting, and then, you know, on top of it, you know, I don't see them hitting whole foods on a routine basis. You know, sometimes it's, the younger they are, the more it's junky food. So on top of all of this, even what they do choose to eat, oftentimes it's just, again, that hyperpalatable junk, and they keep going from deprivation to overeating, then purging, and then, oh my God, it just goes on and on. And once again, addictions coexist with this disordered and, I guess, what I call chaotic eating. Well, I cannot even begin to thank you for helping us understand when addictions coexist with an eating disorder. You and I are both physicians. We see this every single day, and it's our job to really help open up that discussion with our very precious patients, because it's really hard, especially when they're so desperate to have that false sense of control. I'm talking to Dr. Alyssa Dweck, who is the author of V is for Vagina, Your A to Z Guide to Periods, Piercings, Pleasures, and so, so much more. Learn more about her on her website, that's Dr. Dweck, DWECK.com. Dr. Dweck, thank you so much for being on Her Radio. We so appreciate that. Listen to Her Radio and all of the great shows on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. Stay well.